The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Let's talk about education. Let's talk about school because everyone is back. And a lot of them found out how much space they had in their classroom when they got back there, because it would appear that while most schools are sticking to classroom sizes, some definitely are not. And figures released this week show classrooms are still overcrowded despite pupil numbers falling. Let's bring in Fiachna O'Brien on, who's a musician and a broadcaster and founding member of the Hothouse Flowers, and Sheena O'Brien on, who is his wife. Good afternoon to you both, and thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Good afternoon, Jonathan.
Hi.
I'm going to begin with you, Sheena, if I can. Your daughter found themselves in a big class. How many in that class?
Well, when I spoke to your researcher, we said 37, but actually it's now 36, because already one child has been taken out by their parents due to their concerns. So we're 36 now.
Right. Now, I'm going to go back to when I was in primary school in the 1980s, and they had a policy of stack 'em and pack 'em back then. I remember at one point being in a class of 39, but that was the 1980s. When did you find out that your daughter was going to be surrounded by so many of her classmates?
Literally just a couple of days before they went back. The fourth class and fifth class in the school, they had to merge. So there was 37 in each class. There was no time to really prepare for that. And I think that is down to the fact that the school were literally trying up until the very last minute to recruit. And
so
doing
in other
their
words,
best to work it.
Yeah,
sorry,
so in other words, this isn't technically the department been a bit stingy here. They just couldn't hire a teacher, is that it?
They couldn't hire a teacher. I guess the feedback from the school, I spoke to the principal today, is that there's no guidance for this from the department. And you know when something is a thing, when it has a name, and these are apparently now called supersized classes. So the school had to then make decisions. And in our school, I know they've had to move a special education teacher out of that setting to make up numbers.
Which is a very difficult decision to have to make. Fiachna, I'm going to bring you
Absolutely.
In on this. We were talking about your daughter. I don't know if you want to name her or not, but I don't like speaking about her in absentia. What impact is it having on her?
Well, I mean, she was a very, very, very happy school child, you know, in a class of 18 of her classmates last year and right from the very beginning. And, you know, had her set of friends and so on. And then she found herself kind of starting up this year in a class of 37, which then became 36, as Sheena has outlined. And finding herself, you know, with sitting beside people that she didn't know necessarily, sitting against a wall, sitting in a classroom that was very, very hot due to the amount of, the sheer amount of bodies in it. And also, you know, noisy, very noisy and just difficult to concentrate, difficult to focus on the tasks in hand.
I have to say that, you know, it's an element of crowd control. Is there a single teacher in charge of the 36?
There is a single teacher who, in fact, was the teacher, wonderful teacher that she had last year. So, that, I mean, I guess that was one thing that was, you know, at least the teacher was familiar to her. But yes, there is. I mean, it's a big crowd. I mean, you talked about the 80s, or indeed, I could go back to the 70s, Jonathan, and talk about large classes. I mean, education has moved on and has had to move on to allow for, first of all, the diverse needs that pupils have. I mean, there's a huge range of needs, as we know now and as we're learning, that various pupils have. And these are better served in smaller class numbers, which I think we've, you know, collectively as a society, we've been aiming towards for decades now. But this situation is certainly a step back from that.
Yeah, and I understand as well, Fiachna, it's a Gaelscoil, which I suppose is perfectly fine, and there's Gaelscoil right around the country doing a great job. But, you know, is it proving harder to get a teacher for a Gaelscoil than it would for a regular primary school?
I think that's certainly part of the problem. I mean, as you know, there was a time when teaching Gaelscoil was incentivised by an allowance. I guess due to the fact that there is an extra workload, particularly when kids come in to junior infants and senior infants when they're learning from having no Gaelic at all. So, and that allowance was done away with in 2012. So that incentive to be an Irish language teacher or a teacher in a Gaelic school was removed, which is unfortunate, you know. But, you know, being in a Gaelic school can be a wonderful experience, as I know myself firsthand from my own childhood. And but being in a massive class when you've been used to the smaller numbers is not easy.
Yeah, I look, Shane, coming back to you, I know we are adults talking about this, but your daughter's living through this. Yes, it's warm. Yes, it's more crowded. But I'm taking it from what you're saying. She's not enjoying it as much as she should be enjoying her primary school education.
I think that that is the key thing. And all the parents I've spoken to, the first thing on their mind is actually well-being. And education is obviously important, but it's their well-being. And it's been proven that if children aren't happy, they're not going to learn. And the more I've discussed this with other parents, you think, well, if we want our kids to have a wonderful experience at school, which of course we all do, the teacher has to be having a good experience as well. So you wonder, why are we having such a problem getting people to want to teach? Obviously, there is the added situation in our school, it's a Gaelic school. Who's responsible for the teacher shortage? I just wanted to tell you as well that one of the parents wrote, well, we've all written to the Minister for Education and local representatives, but one of the parents got a response from Norma Foley's private secretary. And it says the recruitment and appointment of teachers to fill teaching posts is a matter for individual school authorities, subject to procedures agreed under Section 24 of the Education Act 1998. And it goes on, basically...
Well, can I just translate that? Nothing to do with us, Gov. That's what that means.
That is pretty much how we understood it too. So you have to say, well, we feel like the school have done everything they can. So if the Department of Education aren't responsible, who is?
Let's bring in John Walsh, actually. Not saying that John is responsible, but he has his finger on the pulse of this story because the Indo produced a wonderful survey just last week identifying each school and the average class size. As I mentioned at the top of the programme, John, delighted to see that my daughter's school had an average class size of 23. But there's an awful lot of people who find themselves in the same situation as the O'Brienons.
Yes, there are, unfortunately. And I'm sorry for their daughter, because there's no doubt that a class size of that magnitude will diminish the educational experience available, despite the very best efforts of somebody who is apparently a very good teacher. I should say, though, I think that this issue has been addressed to some extent. It's not much consolation. I know Fikra and Sheena, but the number of classes with 35 or more pupils has come down very dramatically over the past 20 years. Quite dramatically, it's down to about 1.4% of classes now. I mean, 20 years ago, we had 11,000 classes with 35 or more pupils. That's down to less than 2,000 now. It's still too many, and we need to make greater efforts to ensure that that the maximum is brought down to well below 35, preferably.
How much of a challenge, though, is the recruitment of teachers? Because I know you've been writing about this in recent weeks as well, is that there are vacancies in many schools, but there's no one to fill them because the teachers are choosing either not to take up the roles or they can't afford to take up the roles where they're currently available.
Yeah, but I think we should point out, though, that the number of teachers in the system has increased very dramatically. I don't mean to sound like an official spokesperson, but the figures really are remarkable. Over 20 years, they've gone from 26,000 posts to 42,000. Now, that's to cater for a more diverse pupil population. As Fikra has pointed out, greater numbers going to Gaelic school outside the Gaeltacht areas, which is very welcome. It's a very welcome increase in that. There's also a substantial number going increasingly to special classes, who again have better pupil-teacher ratios than mainstream classes, as do schools in disadvantaged areas. So the teacher numbers are going up, but not fast enough to cater for the increasing diversity in our schools. Mm. And I think that has to be addressed. And as you mentioned, there are reasons why schools, such as in this instance, are having difficulty getting teachers. One is, particularly in the Greater Dublin area, teachers are finding it just too hard to purchase houses.
Yeah. And reasonable rent is the other challenge as well, particularly if they're younger. Sheena, if it is the case that a teacher magically appears at some point during the year, do you feel like the issue is going to be addressed, that they might be able to break up those classes and normal service resume?
Oh, I think so. And I think that, you know, parents are actively, once we became aware of this, all the parents, I mean, literally putting messages out to everybody they know. But I mean, if we're lucky enough to find a teacher, it'll solve our problem. But clearly, this is a nationwide problem. So and who knows? It's really the luck of the draw whether we find somebody or not.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed it does happen, because it just seems to be a very unfortunate situation for all those kids, not to mention the poor teacher who has to face going in there every single day. Fáithne, before I let you go, because you're a musician and you're a musician that always draws a crowd, you know, we'll be talking about the CCPC on Oasis there in a minute.
Yes.
Any chance of the Flowers doing dynamic pricing anytime soon? Are you going to stick to the ticket value?
The ticket price that we advertise is the ticket price, and that's all there is to it. I think it's an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, I wonder what other musicians are making of all this, because Oasis said, oh, it's those meanies in management, nothing to do with those. I'm presuming that musicians have a bit of a say in these things, do they?
I imagine they must have. I mean, I don't know, to be honest, because I've never been in a situation where that has been even proposed to us. We sold out Vicar Street in Dublin, wonderful venue in Dublin, just last Saturday night. And, you know, the ticket price that we advertised for that show was the ticket price for everybody who attended, and it was sold out.
Yeah, the only dynamic thing about it was the gig itself. Fáithne O'Brien, founding member of the Hot House Flowers. Sheena Nevrian, who is Fáithne's partner and parent to their daughter. Thank you very much indeed. And John Walsh from the Irish Independent. Thank you. 33 in my son's primary third class in Bishopstown in Cork, says that texter. John from Navan, one of our more enlightened listeners, says, I know it's not ideal, but is a supersized class not better than no class? Well, I mean, we've moved on from the hedge schools, John, and moved the children indoors, but ideally there should be less than 36 in a class.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.